Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are excited to be on the air with you today at our new time, 3 o'clock Tampa time. And we just changed times last night, so everything's a little different right this moment. So welcome to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope, and I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Today with me in the studio is Nathan Burton.
Hello.
Our keyboard player extraordinaire. And we already had an opportunity to use keyboard today, and here comes Connie.
Hey, Connie.
And welcome, Con. And it's going to be a great day here at Living the Good Life. We've had such a good day already.
Yes,
Nathan,
we
just came from the nursing home, Palm Garden, where we have a service the first Sunday of the month. And I tell you what, if they get any better, I just don't know.
We're probably going to go to heaven.
Oh, wasn't it great? Those of you in the Tampa Bay area, of course, mm-hmm. are always welcome. If you'd love to come to a nursing home ministry, we do it the first Sunday of the month at 1:30 at Palm Garden in Clearwater. And my mother used to be there, and so was our dear Jeannie, who is a part of our church. So we have firsthand information on that place and love it and love all the workers there. It's great. So we just came from our ministry there, and we are on a totally different schedule today. Not only did the time change last night, which we are grateful for, always love falling back, always hate springing forward, you know. Oh, my. But, you know, falling back and getting another hour of rest and you know, it just feels great. And here we are on our new schedule today, Nathan. We are... It was very strange for me this morning. Was it for you?
Yes, it was.
Because we have discontinued. You loved it, Connie. She loved it. Connie?
I'm all screwed up.
You're all messed up. She works nights, so she's always messed up anyway. And now we took away Sunday morning service, and we have put you now... There you are. Sunday morning service is no longer, and we have Sunday night at 6.
Mm-hmm.
So we will leave the radio station and boogie on down to the church in just a few minutes. So those of you in our Tampa Bay area, unless you're going to fly in from some other state.
And you're welcome to do that.
You're welcome to our 6 o'clock Sunday evening service. We call it our weekend service, 6 o'clock on Sunday nights. And it's exciting, and what God's going to do, can't wait to get there tonight. And if it's even half as good as what just happened at nursing home, or as what's going to happen on this radio show, then it is amazing. Mm. And we've got, our ad is here, Women's Word Magazine. We have an ad for November, half page. It's really cool, about our big new extravaganza at the nightclub in Dunedin called Blur, starting 2 weeks from tonight at 6 o'clock. Nathan, it's going to be wild, isn't it?
It's going to be out. Outrageous.
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 Once a month, we are going to be out there in December or in November. It's going to be at Blur, and normally it will be at Blur the Sunday, at one Sunday night a month. The other Sunday nights will be at our location. But in December, we're going to the park in Dunedin. What a beautiful place for our monthly special event, outreach event. So we'll talk more about that when we get closer to it. The Christmas one is December 15th. 2 weeks from tonight is November 18th, where we will be at Blur at the nightclub in Dunedin for an amazing service, wild time. We're calling this new branch of our ministry. We have started our 12th year a couple weeks ago. And so we are doing an outrageous new thing in our 12th year, and that is this new ministry called Buckle Up for Change. You got to buckle up, because otherwise you're going to be just
swept. You're
going to
fly out of your seat.
You're
going to fly out of your seat.
It's going to be cool. The music is going to be tremendous. The band is amazing. And we're just going to have a little bit of word and just a great time talking about the Lord. So everybody out there in the Tampa Bay area, buckle up. You're welcome to Blur 2 weeks from tonight, 6 o'clock in Dunedin. So Connie, how are you?
Flying by the seat of my pants.
Well, you work such odd hours, so we forgive you always. Always forgiven.
I didn't work last night.
Oh, okay.
So she's out of control.
Out of control.
No, we withdraw our forgiveness.
Yes, yeah, we withdraw.
You know, the time change, it's like cosmic.
Yeah, isn't it?
Oh, we've got a great show lined up for today and exciting. And Connie, at the nursing home, I tell you, the people were participating today like never before, raising their hands and praising
Nan's
God.
Outfit.
And singing.
Nan stand up in front of the camera.
Nan
holy
looks,
mackerel.
She looks atrocious.
That's the way she dresses all the time. What are you talking about?
Nan, you look horrible. And it's because some of our listeners are going, are you guys that mean to her all the time? Yes, of course.
Yes.
Nothing mean.
Nan spoke at the nursing home today and did an object lesson about how much God loves us. Yes, she was the object.
She was the object.
And it was really good. So, yes, she does look atrocious, and hopefully she'll change some clothes before the evening service.
Well, now they're going to be watching the camera for me.
They want to see. They want to see what you look like.
You might as well stand there.
There you go. The thing is,
you have to stand back over there.
Stand over here. Over here.
Problem is, I don't know if it can get all that atrocious plaid and tie-dye and all of it in.
The problem.
And the rips.
I like it.
You like it,
Cedric? Cedric, he likes it.
The thing is that she's in style right now.
That's right.
Except for maybe the hole in the pocket. But and I remember getting my friend's child dressed one day for preschool.
Yes.
And she had worse than that on. And she said, I said, but Amber, that doesn't match. She said, yes, it does. This color right here matches this color right there. I said, okay, let's go.
She knew. Yep. She knew it matched.
Yeah. Even
you weren't going to make the decision.
That's
there.
Great. It was great. And the people loved Nan's mismatched clothes today.
And her presentation.
It was great.
Awesome.
We're so glad to be with you today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great time. We're looking forward to what you're going to get done on this show today. It's exciting to be able to reach out to the world with these words of hope and encouragement. And so, Lord, as we just go through every moment of this show, we're excited to be here. We're excited to talk about you, God, because you are such an amazing, awesome, wonderful God, and we love you so much. Bless every word that is said, every song that is done, in your precious name. Amen and amen. Amen.
Praise God.
By Mandisa, God speaking.
Sunrise and felt you could not breathe. What if it's
lost a loved one who you thought should still be here. Do you know what it feels like to be tangled up in fear? What if he's somehow involved? What if he's speaking through it all? Who knows how we'll get a hold of us, get our attention to prove he is enough. He'll do and he'll use whatever.
God is speaking, I love you. Wow. He'll use whatever he wants to tell us, I love you. Oh, his ways are higher. That song, Connie, I've never heard it before.
I've heard it a couple times. This is a new
powerful.
This is a new album. It goes with the Jesus Calling devotional.
It's by Sarah Young we recommend you all pick up at Walmart. It's excellent. Jesus Calling by Sarah Young.
I was just looking to see who wrote that. Ronnie Freeman.
Ronnie Freeman. Excellent, excellent song. God speaking. He'll use whatever he wants to tell us, I love you. You know, the theme of this show today is all about God speaking to us and directing us and leading us and getting his message through to us. And sometimes we're a little thick-headed, Connie.
Pretty thick.
But, you know, he uses all kinds of methods, and I think that song says that, doesn't it?
Yeah, that reminds me of the time when we were trying to decide if we should stay or go from after the truck ran through the building.
Right, about in 08 in our building in Dunedin.
Cardinal saying, duh, he sent a truck through the front of the church. What's that telling you? Hello?
Exactly.
So he does whatever it takes.
He does. And don't you think sometimes we are a little slow to pick up on it? But, yeah. You know, I think one of the reasons we are is because we're afraid that we'll be wrong, don't you think?
Well, I think we second guess whether we really hear from him.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, he's not standing there talking to us. We can't see him like right now.
Right.
You know, and so, and then what if we do something and we fall on our face and people say, oh, yeah, she hears from God. Yeah, right.
Right. You know, that's happened to me. I mean, believe me, it's happened many times. And, you know, the other thing that's happened, Connie, a lot of times in my life is when I thought it was God and I stepped out in faith. And it wasn't confirmed for years later. Well, you know, I mean, that was like, whoa. And I was just still walking in blind faith, you know, through that time.
Well, I think that also when you said that you've heard from him before and you've stepped out and fallen on your face. But I how do we know that's not what he wanted
exactly.
to do anyway?
That's the point. And, you know, and later maybe, on down, I realized, oh, yeah, I was supposed to. All that's supposed to happen, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. But obedience.
What he wants for us to do is to want to hear from him. Mm-hmm. Really want to hear from him. And let's go to Psalm 31. All of you out there in Radio Land, we're so glad you've joined us today. And this whole show is about hearing from God, letting God speak to us, and actually saying in our hearts and out loud with our mouths, Lord, please speak to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, Connie, a lot of times we don't hear because James says we ask, we have not because we ask not, mm-hmm. you know? Don't you think there's times we don't even want to hear?
Well, that and that, yeah. Sometimes we don't want to do what he wants us to do.
Right.
And we know what he wants us to do, really.
Right.
So we're just kind of like avoiding the situation.
Sometimes we're just rebellious.
Yeah. That's true.
And so we just ignore it. We're just all, you know, like turn it off, you know, don't want to mm-hmm. hear it, you know? Mm-hmm. And God really wants to get our attention sometimes, you know. Oh, not sometimes, a lot.
All the time. He wants our undivided attention.
Yes. And a lot of times all we can give him is a little tiny speck of time, you know, and he wants so much more than that. He wants to speak to our hearts. Let's look at Psalm 31. This is a Psalm of David. And I love it in the Message Bible. I'll start out reading it in the Message Bible, and then we can talk about this, Connie. We'll bring Nathan back in a little while. I run to you, God. I run for dear life. Ever felt that way?
Yeah.
Don't let me down. Take me seriously this time. You know, are there times in our lives that we think God is not taking us seriously?
I think we take ourselves not seriously, and so we don't think God's going to really listen.
Right.
Because we got ourselves in a big mess.
Right.
Some way or another.
And when that happens, a lot of times I think we are embarrassed. We feel bad about the mess we're in, and we think, oh, I got to straighten this out on my own.
It's a pride thing, too.
It is a pride thing. Mm-hmm. So David says, take me seriously this time. Get down on my level and listen. And please, no procrastination, it says in the Message Bible.
That's my favorite friend.
Procrastination?
Yes.
Get down on my level and listen, and please, no procrastination. And then he says, David says to God, your granite cave, a hiding place, your high cliff area, a place of safety. What's it say there in the International Version in the first two verses of Psalm 31?
In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me from your righteousness. Deliver me in your righteousness.
Right.
Turn your car to me quickly to my rescue. Be my rock or my rock of refuge. Man, I can't read. You know, I wrote on the other side of this page.
Oh, so it's hard to read. It's bleeding through. Okay, so David is saying, God, I need you to come quickly to my rescue. Deliver me. Turn your ear to me. That's mm-hmm. what it said.
Mm-hmm.
Turn your ear to me.
Okay, yeah.
Turn your ear. And so often...
Turn your car to me, too.
Turn your car. Okay, well, she can't exactly see today. So
not.
Turn your ear to me, God. I want to hear what you would have me hear. I want to be so in tune with you that when you're talking, I'm hearing it, you know? And God, I want you to hear me cry out to you. And I think, Connie, that so often people... don't cry out to God because, why?
They're ashamed.
Ashamed. I think shame is a big one. They don't want to admit the mess that they've made of something. What else? I mean, I think a lot of times people don't cry out to God because they're just thinking he's not going to care anyway. He's too busy.
Mm-hmm. It's not. He's not worried about those little things.
Right. But he is. He cares about every detail.
Every.
Which is so amazing that he
does. Every hair on our head.
Yeah. Every hair on our head is numbered. And yeah. And yet, we so often buy the lie of the devil. God's not caring. He doesn't listen. He's not going to lead you and guide you in this situation. He's just going to let you fend for yourself and make a mess of it because he doesn't care what happens to you. I mean, that whole concept is based in thinking that God doesn't really love us and show us favor, you know?
Yeah, he's just waiting to beat us down.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
God will get you.
Yeah. And I really think that the devil works overtime in this whole thing, because when we get to the mindset that we say, okay, God, I know you hear me. I know you answer my prayer. I know you want to talk to me. With that kind of confidence, we hear better. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We do hear better.
We have
better.
Our channels open.
Yes.
To hear.
Yes.
And we're waiting. We're actually anticipating his response. Mm-hmm. Instead of avoiding it.
Yeah. You know how it is with little kids. You've got nieces and nephews and whatever. And when you're trying to make a point to them, and I know as being a mother and a grandmother, and if I can get their attention and say, look at me a minute. And instead of they're off playing with this, doing that, running around, not paying a bit of attention. But when you can get their attention centered on you and you're looking them in the eye, you have a much better chance of getting the response you need. You know what I'm saying? Instead of them going flying off of the drapes and jumping off of the sofa.
Swinging
off the chandeliers. You know what I'm saying? But, that's typical 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-olds, you know, but so often we as adults behave that way. Mm-hmm. Like we're just swinging off the chandeliers. We're out here doing our own thing. We don't care what God says about it because we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Because, right. Religion and church is just so confining.
Right. That's what a lot of people think. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's the most liberating way to live.
Yeah.
Letting God lead us and guide us, which we're going to talk more about today.
Exactly.
Verse 3 of Psalm 31, you're my cave to hide in, my cliff to climb. Be my safe leader and be my true mountain guide. Let's read verses 3 and 4 and 5 right there in the New International.
I better read it for
you. Better
yours.
Read it. Yeah. Okay.
Take it's
very
car
small
somewhere
print.
Somewhere again. Oh, boy.
Verses 3, 4, and 5 of Psalm 31.
Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, that you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth.
Into my hands I commit thy spirit. My spirit is, Jesus quoted that on the cross,
yes.
Right there out of Psalm 31. Mm-hmm. So here we have David saying, you know, I've learned I got to run to you. I got to run to you. And I think so often we run from God, Connie, instead of running to God.
It's like in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve ran when God came in after they ate
exactly.
From the apple,
great. Of, yes.
Of good, the tree of knowledge.
Yeah.
And, you know, because they know he knows.
Right.
I mean, we know he knows what we've done. And so I think a lot of it is just shame.
I think it's shame. I think it's also avoidance. You know, mm-hmm. how people just want to not have to deal with something. They know that if they sit down and have a conversation with God, he's going to say, stop that, whatever it is.
Well, it would be just like sitting with your parents after you broke something.
Right.
And you tried to clean it up the best you can as a child. And then hope that they don't miss that.
Right.
And then when they do, it's like,
wow. You know, having had a daughter that was drug addicted for a long time, and by the way, my third book is all about that, Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost, which you can get from us just going to our website or write me, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you have a daughter or a child or a friend does that is struggling with addiction, this book will help. But it's my struggle of how I really tried to fix it myself, and she wasn't ready to pay attention to what God was saying to her for a real long time, you know. And it's amazing. So often, you know, there's parents, there's relatives out there of drug addicted and alcoholic kids who know these things are going on, but they avoid the conversation because it will be a confrontation or whatever. And I think we so often as adults are that way too. We avoid that one-on-one with God because we really don't want to hear what he has to say. We're afraid we're going to have to change, mm-hmm. you know.
We have to be sent to Africa or something.
Right, something like that. So here's David says, be my safe leader, be my true mountain guide. And when I was reading that earlier, I was thinking about Psalm 23, 2 and 3. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He leads me beside quiet waters. He doesn't lead me beside chaos, confusion. He doesn't lead me beside danger. He doesn't lead me beside anger. He leads me beside quiet waters. And that's what he wants to do, is lead us there to that place of quiet rest. You know, in Isaiah, it says, in quietness and confidence shall be my strength. Okay. And when we are in this communion with God, talking and listening, we get stronger. Do you want to comment on that? Because I know you know what I'm talking about, because you're all the time talking to God.
When I mean, you cannot listen to somebody if you're not calm.
Oh, if that's a good point.
If you're upset over something or in a mess,
okay,
you can't hear, you can't listen.
Right.
You can't sit still long enough to hear.
Right.
So I like the idea of about leading us through the calm.
Yes.
The calmness and into the peace.
And so what happens when we are allowing ourselves to be led there? Like David said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. I'm quoting out of Psalm 23, and we're really teaching out of Psalm 31, but it makes the point right here. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You know, your soul is that area of, it's your personality, it's your mind, your emotions, and your will. It's your feelings, you know, feelings of anger, feelings of jealousy, feelings of rage, feelings of hopelessness, depression, whatever. And when we can get to a place that we're allowing God Almighty to lead us beside quiet waters, it restores our soul. Talk to me about that, Connie. Because I know you live it. I live it. We live it.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, what calms a baby from crying?
Well, you deal with babies all the time. You work in the NICU. So what
you know,
calms a baby?
Some kind of either stillness, calmness, quietness, gentleness.
Right.
It's not, you know, screaming and yelling and or noise or loud music. It's calm music. You turn on nursery music.
Okay.
You pat them.
Right.
Rhythmically.
Right. Good point. And you do that with the babies in your care. And so then they calm down. Okay. And notice in that metaphor you just gave, which is excellent, you're there paying attention to the needs of that baby.
Exactly.
You're not off in another room thinking, I wish that brat would quit crying.
Yeah.
You know, that's not your attitude at all, is it?
No.
And I think so often people think that God sees us as just little whiny brats, you know, just little kids that are, you know, just, oh, there she is again, wanting an answer to prayer. And that's not God at all.
No, his heart's just full.
Oh.
And wanting of love and wants to, you know, it's like if you ever have ever known somebody who has patience beyond patience.
Yeah.
That can just...
You're kind of like that.
Well, only to an extent, but, you know,
you have patience with Nan all the time.
Oh, I kind of lost it, but
yeah.
I'm just kidding, Nan. But when you have somebody that's very patient and you have a child that is needy,
right?
Let's say, not that we would be needy, but I guess you could probably say we were if we were constantly asking God for help,
right.
Which is what we're supposed to be
doing.
We're
supposed to be doing that, actually.
But he's like, come here, come on, sit up here. Right. Let me hold you for a little bit, and let's talk about this.
Right.
You know, and so then a few minutes later, something else comes to mind, and it's like a mom's lap that never gets tired of holding you. It's wow. like mom doesn't have all that housework to do, you know. She's just sitting there waiting for you to come back and say, can I ask you a question? And, you know, or I need this, or whatever it is. You know, it's somebody that beyond our comprehension has patience, time, mm-hmm. love that just flows constantly.
Totally.
And he's like totally calm. I mean, if you can think of a stream out in the wilderness somewhere, a stream of water where you're just sitting right on the edge of the water.
Right.
And the water's just flowing and the birds are coming in and the deer are eating over in the field there. And there's, right. you know, you can set up this whole visual picture of this calmness.
Right.
That's God.
Right.
That is a picture of God right there.
Right there. That's the way it is for me at the Causeway, mm-hmm. which, of course, I was there this morning since we didn't have a morning service. And the water was tranquil. It was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. There weren't hardly any people there. And there wasn't anybody with their blaring radio. And I was just able to talk out loud to God and pray and just sit there and commune with him, looking at that gorgeous landscape, you know, and the beautiful blue sky and all of it. And that's what God is really wanting us to do, Connie, but we don't do it so often because we're in a rush. We're busy. We got to do this. We got to go there. We got to do this. The time schedule, you know?
Well,
we can't always sit still like that. I understand that, but go ahead.
But still, we need to be able to recognize when we need to talk to God.
Right.
And we have to take the time.
Right.
Make the time. Whether it's driving in a car, no matter how chaotic it is, traffic is, whatever, you've got to be able to drown some of that stuff out.
Absolutely.
Even if it's just praise music, even if it's just quiet, put headphones on and...
Well, you know, you've said this before on the show, and maybe you want to amplify on this, that we need to speak out loud because...
We need to hear it ourselves.
We need to hear it ourselves.
As well as God.
Because so often I think when we start to pray in our heads, which we all do that, and that's okay, to pray in your heart, pray in your head, that's fine. But I'm just saying for me... I wake up a lot different times in the night praying for people, and last mm-hmm. night was no exception. There was like a whole big old list of people, it seemed like. But I start to pray, and if I'm praying in my head or my heart, I fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. You just get, I think you just get, I know that if I wake up or when I'm praying, if I make a point to sit down somewhere and pray for somebody or pray, period, right. I fall asleep.
Right.
And I fall asleep, I think, because my mind wanders and there's this and there's that. And then, you know, I get back on track and then, you know. So you're right. It needs to be out loud.
It needs to be out loud. I think more than ever, Nathan's back in here with us now. Nathan, we're in Psalm 31, and we're talking about the fact that God wants us to take time and talk to him, and preferably out loud, because Connie and I were just making the point that a lot of times when we are praying just in our heads or our minds or our hearts, we drift off to sleep or we get distracted with five other things, and then we miss hearing the answer.
Yes.
That's it right there. We say, okay, God, here's where I am today. I'm depressed. I've got this going on, that going on, that going on. I don't see any resolution to this. I'm telling you all that. And then a lot of times we get, if that's all going inside your head, mm-hmm. a lot of times, in particular, the devil's job is suggestions all the time. Is suggestions. So he's going to take you down a path to get you off of hearing God's answer mm-hmm. or getting God's peace. Do you want to comment on that?
It sounds good to me. Because that's exactly what happens to me. You know, if I'm sitting someplace at night.
Right.
Or if I'm, you know... I assume the position.
Right.
And I'm praying for someone or praying about something. I find myself falling asleep.
Yes.
And more often than not, it's because I've been distracted.
Right.
By, you know, I've been praying about something and it reminds me of this. And it reminds me of this. Oh, that reminds me of this. And oh, right. oh that, you know, and actually what it reminds me of is Satan is just reminding me of situations and circumstances that life brings.
Right.
And
exactly.
Because he does that, of course, being a faithful steward, you know, I'm going to go ahead and pray about that situation too.
Right.
You know, before yeah. you know it, the faithful steward has faithfully fallen asleep.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, we all do this, okay? But I think that what God is trying to say today on this show, one of the many things is we need to be doing kingdom business mm-hmm. in our prayer life. Mm-hmm. We need to be concentrating and be verbal, and also, as I always said to my children as they were in school, take good notes. Mm-hmm. And I think it helps to write things down. You know, you got a prayer, you got a request. God, here's my situation. I need to hear from you on this. Why not get a journal and write in it? Okay, on this date, here's what I'm asking you, Lord, blah, 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 blah. And then later record the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that a lot of times we don't do it because it just takes time to do it. But
but if we take the time to do it, the rewards are great.
Well,
the rewards are great.
What's one of the rewards?
God answers.
Okay. And when we, let's say we write down the answer as a praise report, mm-hmm. what does that do for you?
Oh, my goodness. It lifts your faith. It makes your faith stream go woo.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And we know that God has answered, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Do you want to comment on that?
Well, it's also faith. It's a faith builder for everybody that hears mm-hmm. it as well.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is so easy, I think, to become complacent, lackadaisical, lazy, depressed,
yep.
discouraged, defeated. I need to pray. I know I need to pray, but I got to get up and fix dinner right now. You know, whatever the case may be,
yeah.
you know. But, you know, it's interesting to me that when it's something we really want to do for fun.
We find time and we make time.
Absolutely.
We
stay awake through a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But we have a hard time staying awake.
Some of us do.
That's true. Some of us don't.
Some of us don't. Okay, I do. But there are times that when God is trying to get our attention, he can't seem to jump high enough in front of us to get our attention. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we're
like
just
driving the truck through or...
Yeah, like just, that or...
Yeah, just... He's just trying.
He's
hello?
Just trying.
Hello, I'm here.
I'm right here. Listen.
I'm here. Hello.
Time
I hear
to
you.
Move on.
But, yeah. but, you know, along this, I want to go back to this verse in Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
Hmm. He has to
whoa.
He has to make me lie down.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. Isn't that good? That
That's
is.
Interesting. Because,
it is.
Because why does he have to make me?
Because I'm running too fast. He's got to catch me and make me lie down.
Because I'm not listening. Because I'm too distracted.
He just runs along and he goes, boom, knocks you down.
Knocks her down and goes fast.
There's a blue drone.
It's really true. It's really true.
But it's true.
I know.
It makes me
I just
lie down
think of my grandkids faster. When they were toddlers. And hopefully I'll have some more grandkids someday, Mark. Anyway.
No pressure.
Mark's listening.
At least let him get married
no
first.
Pressure. In
yeah, let him listen and get married first.
You know, toddlers are so good at wiggling out of your arms and running away. You, Grandpa, too.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know what I'm talking about. Your Aunt Connie, you got all kinds of them running around. And when they're toddlers, I mean, forget it. They are not going to just sit and say, what did you have to say, blah, blah. And I think so often we behave like toddlers.
Yes, we do.
Spiritually.
Yes, we do.
And yet God says he makes
bad
us.
Bad toddlers.
Bad toddlers.
Terrible two toddlers.
Bad toddler. Bad toddler.
Right.
Back in place.
That's right.
Lay down.
Lay down. Because he says he makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. He restores our soul. He guides us in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And paths of righteousness. Righteousness is God's, us being in right standing with God.
Right.
So he leads us beside quiet places where we can get some nourishment to restore our soul, to get rid of the junk that is controlling us, the depression, the anxiety, the fear, the nervousness, the envy, the jealousy, all that stuff. We want to get rid of that. We want our souls restored by God speaking to us a word that changes us. You know, it's one of those words, which we call a rhema word, where it comes alive and it is more than just God speaking. It is.
How many toddlers have you known has been interested in that?
They aren't. They don't care. They got to go play with this and go there and go there. And I think metaphorically, we have got to do better.
Yes.
About not being that toddler that runs around. We have email up right now. We want your comments on this in the show. If you want to comment, just write us right now. You'll actually go to my email, which is in front of Connie. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. We'd love for you to weigh in on this because I really believe this is a problem, Nathan, in the body of Christ.
Oh,
that
definitely.
We could have our answers to prayer quicker, wiser.
Yes.
More timely,
yes.
Right when we need it, but we're like that toddler that runs around. And David says, be my safe leader, be my true mountain guide, and free me from hidden traps. I love that in verse 3 in Psalm 31. I want to hide in you. I put my life in your hands. You won't drop me. You'll never let me down. I hate all the silly stuff, but you, God, I trust. I'm leaping and singing in the circle of your love. You saw my pain. You disarmed my tormentors. You didn't leave me in their clutches, but gave me room to breathe. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's the kind of God we serve. It gives
us
room
to
breathe. Comment on that, Connie, and then we'll get back to Nathan. Because I think so often we feel like we're caught in messes that a lot of them of our own making that we can't seem to get out of. And yet God says, I want to get you out of hidden traps. I want to be your guide. I want to lead you, you know?
Sometimes we're embarrassed because we've got ourselves into the mess and we're afraid to ask. Because I know sometimes I'm afraid. I would, as a child, I remember being afraid to ask my dad for help because I thought, you know, I'd get in trouble.
Right.
And, or my mom or whatever. But, you know, because you just think you got to try to figure it out yourself.
Right.
And, you know, not only that, but like we said before, you know, we think God's too busy. And
yeah.
So. Where do we get that idea?
That he's too busy?
Because our parents are too busy usually.
Maybe.
Oh, I know for a fact.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
Because my parents were always too busy.
Okay. Good point.
They were always too busy just to sit down and talk to me about anything. Mom, listen, this is important. Mom. I mean, I remember that.
Do you?
I remember.
And you had
that
45 life. Brothers and sisters, right?
I had many brothers and sisters.
Maybe that was the reason.
I had many brothers and
but
sisters.
But you, with God, it doesn't matter how many brothers and sisters we have, right?
I mean, many. I remember many times my dad put me on the back burner, my mom would put me on the back burner, and that back burner never got any attention.
Right.
Never got any attention.
That's a good point.
I remember one time my sister and I, it was just my sister and I, Angie and I, and we're only 13 months apart, so we...
it's like she was twins. Like,
yeah, she was like 2 and I was 3 or something, you know. I was kind of busy, too. Can you imagine that?
No, cannot imagine that
at
all.
She kept trying to get Mom's attention. She was like, Mom. You know, and after a while, it kind of gets on your nerves a little bit. And I said, what? And Angie says, don't the birds sound pretty today?
Yes.
That's a good one. Don't the birds sound pretty today?
She was like, all right, you know, she just she was just waiting for
she's so excited.
What? And she was like, don't the birds.
Oh, my goodness.
That's cute. We can go somewhere with that. Listen to this song. We're going to come back here in a minute with Crazy Nathan and Crazy Connie. Chris Tomlin, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Love this.
All the way my Savior leads me, who have I to ask beside? How could I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me, in cheers is each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart. And surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the way my Savior leads me, all the fullness of His love. Sureness of His promise in the triumph of His blood. And when my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of death, my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. You lead me, keep me from falling.
Wow. Of course, we didn't know we were going to be talking about Psalm 23 when Connie put that song here on the show. And that's how God does it, leads her with the right music. She just had a theme of guiding and leading. Jesus led me all the way. I've never heard that song by Chris Tomlin. I love it. All the way my Savior leads me. You carry me close to your heart. Wow. He's talking here about the end of Psalm 23. And I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod and staff are talking about His presence there. His word and His presence. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The last verse of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, we got to get used to hearing His voice better, because we're going to hear it for all eternity. And Nathan, just now coming from nursing home, we talked about trading our bodies in for new bodies, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And was there like a round of applause with the residents?
There was definite rising, a round of applause. And I was leading it.
And Nathan was going, I'll take that. I'll take a new body. I'll
Me
take
too.
That. And, you know, we are going to be in His presence. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow us all the days of our lives, and we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Forever.
We got to get learned.
Forever's
gotta,
a long time.
It's a long time. We got to get used to listening to His voice. Mm-hmm. That's where we're headed. We have to become more in tune. This is what I feel in my heart, what God is saying right now. We have to become more in tune with His voice. We got to become more ready to hear what He has to say to us, because He is wanting to tell us things, Connie. Mm-hmm. He's wanting to reveal things to us.
Well, I think He wants to tell us things for our benefit, but He also wants us to be able to say things to other people that He needs to get across to them. Because they're running around like a terrible two toddler, you know, not paying attention.
Absolutely.
So he uses us to help. Hey, sit down a minute. I got to talk to you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And don't you think a lot of times God is looking for willing vessels? Mm-hmm. I know that because I love the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how he will prophesy mm-hmm. through one of us. Or amazing what happens, like last Sunday in the service, Connie, mm-hmm. you began to just sing a message in tongues. And then I began to realize, wait a minute, that's there's an interpretation down inside me. And then I began to sing the interpretation. Was that wild?
That was wild.
But God was just speaking to the people.
Yes.
And as I remember what the message was, it had to do with laying in his arms mm-hmm. and letting mm-hmm. him hold us, letting him tell us how dear we are to him mm-hmm. and experiencing his love and favor in a new dimension. Do you remember all that?
I just remember feeling loved.
Yes, and that's what he wanted.
It was celestial air.
It was.
It was like, oh, let me stay here for a while.
Right.
It's like, let me stay here for a while.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know what was happening, and it was. I was scared because. Mm-mm. You know, I don't sing by myself usually. So,
well, you know what? How ironic that was, because Connie doesn't normally like to sing solos, and that was funny because you sang a solo in the spirit.
You sure did, and it was yeah. beautiful.
That's how God gets even with us, you know. So Connie goes, "I don't want to sing a solo,"
right.
and he goes, "Fine, I'm just going to make you do it in the spirit. Love it."
That's right. That's right.
But I feel safe there. Isn't that weird?
Oh, isn't that
safe doing that?
You feel safe in his arms. You're not fearful because you know you've got something to say to people. And it's like in a sermon, the anointing of God is so strong. And I know God is trying to make points in people's lives. What those points are for Nan or Nathan or Connie or whatever may be different than somebody else gets a different point. Mm-hmm. But that's not my job as the deliverer of the word to figure out what's going to hit Nan.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my job at all. I've had people through the years, Connie, say to me, oh, you must have aimed that little comment right at me.
Right.
You know, I go, no, if a shoe fits, wear it. Because I
curl up your toes because it's going to be stepped on.
But it's not with an effort to put people down or anything like that. But it is that God does speak to us through music.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks to us like we experienced and we do so often, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He speaks to us through the words of a song, like here on the radio. He speaks to us through a sermon. Maybe right now, through what we're teaching on the radio, maybe God is trying to say to all of us, I want you more sensitive to my voice.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to pay attention, you know? One of my grandsons, my youngest grandson, I won't mention his name, but
Trouble.
Uh-huh.
Capital T.
Uh-huh. He is having very difficult time right now in seventh grade listening. Can he listen? Yes, he has ears. Is he aware that he needs to be paying attention to what the teacher says? Oh, absolutely.
After 6 years in school.
Yeah, probably. He's told that all the time. Pay attention, pay attention. What he has been doing is putting his head down on the desk and saying, I'm tired.
Mm-mm.
Came to a point that my daughter goes to school the other day and says, I'm sitting in on every one of your classes, and I'm going to see how you behave, and I'm going to see if you listen. And you know what? Things are changing. And sometimes we need to be called to attention. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes God needs
to put on notice.
Put on notice that, hey, I'm trying to speak to you, young man. I mean, the teacher was saying to my daughter, you know, I tell him, look alive. Come on. Mm-hmm. Respond. What's the answer here? And he just still sits there. You know, he's in that kind of a
zone
where he just doesn't want to pay attention. But he's beginning to understand how important this is. Sometimes, here's my point, God has to get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it sometimes in strange ways, like what happened today at the nursing home. Because Nan was speaking, and she dressed up in this atrocious outfit. It was all mismatched, which we mentioned. We showed her on camera earlier, but it was all ripped and everything, and the people loved it.
Yeah.
And her point was that God loves us no matter what we look like.
No matter what.
Did you know she was going to do that?
No.
No. Good. Good, Nan.
And but what's good is that the people were into it and they got
they
the
did.
Point.
They got the point.
They got the point that God loved them no matter what they looked like. no matter what their clothes looked like, no matter where they were at this moment. And, you know, God is trying to speak to the body of Christ, Nathan. And I believe more so than ever, this is a critical time for people of God to get in tune with what God is trying to say to them. I have, this whole weekend, I have felt God just churning on the inside of me the prophetic word for people. It's coming out. I know it is. And I'll tell you right this moment, it's coming out over the airwaves because there are some people out there who have fallen asleep at the controls.
Okay.
And they have just let life take over and let the misery of their circumstances take over. And God would say right now, wake up, saint of God, and take back control, and don't let the enemy drag you down that slippery slope to that place of despair and depression and discouragement and defeat. And it's time to rise up, soldiers, and listen to what God has to say to us.
Amen.
And grab it. I mean, grab it. Woo!
Amen.
Yeah! Yes! Come on, no more sleeping, gang.
Amen.
It's time to wake up.
Amen.
Nathan, that's what this new day at Beacon of Hope is. We started our 12th year. 12 is the number for God's government in our lives. Mm. 12 disciples, 12 tribes. It always talks about God governing us and us submitting to that government in our lives. This 12th year is like we are being called as a ministry to step out of our comfort zone, Nathan, and get out of there. I could preach about this right
now. Go on. It's honest. It's definitely there. I mean, God is right at the door telling us, get out.
Yes.
Get out and reach your public.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Reach your public. They're out there. They're waiting for you.
Right.
And I mean, even in Nan's presentation today, you know, the presentation, that presentation was for everyone.
Yes.
God loves everyone right where they are.
Amen.
And he wants them right where they are.
Yes.
He loves them right where they are. And he wants to bring them into a loving relationship right where they are.
Right.
Right. And he wants us to do that.
Exactly.
He wants us to do that.
Mm-hmm. Here's what God gave me last week for our new nightclub ministry, going outside our walls to meet people where they are, just as they are, with God's love. Mm. Connie? Mm.
Just as they are.
Just as they are.
Reminds me of Just As I Am.
Mm, I just really wanted to sing it. Just as I am without one plea.
Let's see what Betty's got to say.
Oh,
amen,
just as
sister.
I am.
He's knocking loud and clear.
Mm.
Reach my people.
Mm. Amen, BT. She was on the. She's one of our radio team up in Indiana. Mm. Thank you for responding, Betty. Betty, God is calling us out of our walls. Some of our walls we have constructed.
we got to get out of our comfort zone. And
let's
you
go,
know,
baby.
Because there are people that are not going to be people that normally we would see in church.
That's right. Right.
And we're good with that.
Yeah.
We don't care if they have blue hair. Oh, it reminds me, I'm listening to this.
Oh, Lord.
So cool. I'm listening to this Graham Cook CD a couple days ago, driving down the road, and it's all about proclaiming what you want, proclaiming God's word. Mm-hmm. And he was in Scotland, and he was talking about proclaiming and declaring the word of the Lord over his situation. And he had several hundred people. You've heard that? When several hundred people were in the congregation, all of a sudden, a little old man, he said it was about 92, came out into the aisle and started pounding his fist on the carpet and declaring over Scotland what God was wanting to do. And he was pounding the carpet and just declaring in Jesus' name, this country will turn to God, and on and on.
Hallelujah.
Okay, and then comes another man out of the congregation, and he's 19 and he's pierced everywhere. He's got tattoos everywhere. He's got green and blue hair. He was wearing a Scottish kilt. He's got zippers everywhere, he said, and you know the way they look. Mm-hmm. And he gets down on his knees with the 92-year-old man, and he's pounding away, and he's declaring, and he's proclaiming, God is going to do this, and we believe the word of the Lord. And after about 45 minutes, they stopped, and everybody was praying in unison. Everybody was like, hey, yes, God is going to do this, and that's what we're declaring right now today on Living the Good Life. However, what happened then, after the service was over, the 92-year-old came up to Graham to talk to him, and he looked into his eyes, and he realized he had seen those eyes before. and the guy disappeared. He looked back at the back door, and the 19-year-old punker that was standing back there waved at him and just faded away.
Praise.
And he said it was, we had a prayer meeting with Jesus and the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, I'm listening to that, and I'm thinking, okay, God, you are calling us to get intimately involved with you and your presence in our lives. I cannot believe it's already 4 o'clock. Oh, my. We got to do station ID. Don't go anywhere, guys. God is moving right now in this show. He is moving.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
Mm. Woo! Yes!
Yes!
Yes! Living the good life, Beacon of Hope Ministries. Mm. That's who we are. Mm. Pastor Marcia, Nathan, and Connie here today. Mm. Nan's in the studio. Betty's online. Our radio team. We have such a strong group of people right now that want to declare God's word.
Yes.
And we do pray right now for all those who have been so tragically affected by that awful hurricane. Mm-hmm. We pray that the help will come to each one of these that need it, that God will send his peace, that God will send angels into that situation to help, and people that will give financially and do what they can to relieve that distress. We declare that right now
in the name of Jesus.
We are talking today about listening to God's voice, and he so wants to speak to us. And he'll get our attention, Connie, in unusual ways, like that story from Graham Cook. Mm-hmm. Very unusual. And guys, we love Graham Cook, a wonderful British man, probably about my age, which was makes him, what, 40-ish?
Everybody pick your feet up. It's getting deep
in here.
Okay, about like that. And anyway, he's such a man of God, such a teacher of the word, and he's so in tune with what God is doing in this day. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, what God is doing in this day, dear ones, is he's trying to get your attention and my attention and Nathan's attention and Connie's attention and Betty's attention and Nan's attention and Cedric's attention. He said he just raised his hand, our engineer.
Me too.
He's such a wonderful guitar
Sean's
player.
Out there too.
And Sean.
Yeah.
I mean, God is trying to say to us, talk to me because I want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's trying to do.
Mm. I think he's doing it. I think he's doing it.
So what can we do, children of God, to be better listeners?
Open our ears.
Open our ears. Mm-hmm. What else?
Open our hearts. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Mm-hmm.
Open the eyes. Pray that. Declare it.
Lord, just that we just open our eyes and our ears to hear your voice, that we become sensitive to you, Lord.
Yes.
We want to be more sensitive to you.
We do.
We want to be your vessels. We want to be your ears. We want to be your arms that reach out. We want to be.
And, you know, Nathan, that's the motivation for this whole nightclub venture that we're doing. And it starts 2 weeks from tonight. It's going to be once a month. Normally, we will be at Blur, the nightclub in downtown Dunedin. In December, we couldn't get Blur, so we're going to be in the park in Dunedin. And that we'll tell you more about that, Christmas in the park.
That's going to be beautiful.
Oh, isn't it going to be great? Oh, it's going to be a Christmas extravaganza. But, Connie, once a month, we're going into a local nightclub, and we're having church. And our Buckle Up Band is amazing. Yeah. I mean, amazing, the way God has put together musicians.
It's like he plucked them out of the air.
Their voices melt together. Mm-hmm.
And you
phenomenal.
Sit there and you go, good.
They've sang together through two rehearsals, and they sound like they have sung together
all
for
their lives.
All their exactly.
Because
all
when God lives. Puts people together, he does it right.
He does it right.
Absolutely.
And Nathan, we're going out on a limb out here. We're going into a nightclub situation. We're not going to have alcohol, so none of you don't worry about any of that. We are going to have Cokes and Diet Cokes
and friendship
crush.
And fellowship.
And some chips and
love,
stuff.
Love.
And we're just going to introduce people to a side of God, I believe, that they have not seen, perhaps.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Not the God of people's imaginations that's angry and mad at you and shaming you, but it's the God that reaches out and says, I take you right where you are. I meet you. I love you.
Right where you are.
I love you.
And it's The experience, I mean, I'm feeling it right now in my spirit. I'm feeling right now the experience is going to be second to none.
Yes.
To anyone that will soften their heart and will attend.
Right.
Anyone.
Right.
I mean, those that are saved and those that are not saved.
Right.
Those that are called and those that are not called.
Right. Just come on down
just
for a great night.
Come on down. It's going to be an incredible experience.
It is.
God is going to meet you there.
Oh, Connie, I mean, when you and I and Christina walked into Blur for the first time, which has only been, what, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, mm-hmm. we were just standing there in awe, looking at each other, just grinning from ear to ear. Here we are. Having church in a nightclub, Cedric, and it is just perfect to have church in a nightclub. And you're going to be playing your guitar along with us.
And I mean, you can have church anywhere. I mean, it doesn't really matter that it's a nightclub.
Mm. Exactly.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And we can hear from God no matter if it's a nightclub or where, street corner or in the park. It does matter.
That's right.
Oh, so praise God. Praise God, praise God. Let's get this song in, and then we're coming right back. But this song, you got to hear it. I'll Show You How to Live by Sanctus Real.
I heard the sound of your first breath, a brand new life on your mother's chest. A beating heart, expectant eyes, on the first day of your life. I saw you take your first step, and I watched you run with no regret to chase your dreams and find true love, and the best is yet. Better than your first crush, better than your first kiss. Oh, I'll show you how.
Come with me. I'll show you love that you didn't know existed. Mm. Come with me. I'll show you how to live. Dear listener, this is what God is wanting to do for you today.
Amen.
John chapter 10 in the Message Bible, Jesus said this, "Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. He's a sheep wrestler." You know what that is? That's the picture of the devil.
That's right.
Trying to talk to us and trying to affect our lives. Mm-hmm. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Mm-hmm. You know, in the Eastern countries back then, Nathan, the shepherds named their sheep like we name our dogs and cats.
It's amazing.
Okay? You know, I have Bailey and Bailey Boy, but his Spanish, his Mexican name is Bailito Miguelito. Mm-hmm. And then there's Zoe Grace, and she's Zolita mi hijita. Mm-hmm. But she had...
another name for Brat.
Yes, Brat. Oh, okay. But they know their names. I mean, when I say, come here, Bailey, he comes over, okay? This is the way it was in the Eastern countries during this time. The shepherds named, they may still do, I don't know. They named their sheep. They would call them Fred, Joe, Bill, you know, Blake, I don't know, Gladys, Mabel, things like that.
Alfred.
Come here, Alfred. But they
William.
They had a name, right? And God calls us
by name. That's right.
In Isaiah, he says he calls us by name. He knows us. He knows our name. When he knows us so much better than we know ourselves. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah. Okay. You are correct.
You are correct.
Well, thank you very much for that endorsement.
No, he does know us better. And that's what scares us sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling
you. Because, you know, we can't get away with anything. You know how sometimes you try to do stuff and your parents know you pretty well and they know your patterns and things. So you try to sneak through something and...
And you can't get by with it because they know you.
Only he's even better.
He's even better than that.
Yeah.
But he really does. But the good thing about that, yes, he knows our idiosyncrasies. That's hard to say. He also knows what makes us who we are. But he also knows what we need, Nathan.
Yes.
It says, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." He doesn't say here in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice," if they've gone to Bible school, or if they're a priest and sitting in a confessional, or if they have all the learning and the book learning, then they hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice.
My sheep hear my voice. Period.
And it doesn't say that they have to be a certain age or skin color. You're the most beautiful black color I've ever seen, and I have always wanted to be your color. You know, I work on it all the time. See, look, we're getting there.
You're getting there.
And, you know, I mean, but it doesn't have anything to do with our skin color. Doesn't have anything to do with your gray hair or my lack of it.
Oh, stop.
I have six now. Yes. And it doesn't have anything to...
She has it's six. New math, I can tell.
She has six.
The new math.
Look at this spread over here.
Yeah, right.
There's more than six.
I think there's more than six.
They just treat me terrible. Anyway.
Poor baby.
Yes. You're someone loved.
You know, Jesus doesn't care about that. In fact, this is what Nan did at the nursing home again today, besides looking terrible in her outfit. She brought all these stuffed animals. She brought a little angel that was so cute. And then she brought a bear that had a baby with it. And it was more like a Pooh Bear. And then she brought this dog that was as big as this table. I'm not kidding you. It was that kind of a stuffed animal. She sleeps with it. I hear she sleeps with it. And just a little birdie told me.
Oh, Lord.
And so there's all three of those. Mm-hmm. And her point was we all look different.
Yeah, all look different.
And, you know, we all can't have this beautiful brown skin that Nathan has, you know, or the beautiful blonde hair that Connie has to my right.
That's right.
Or red hair
like
Cedric.
Yes, you can have it. It's in a bottle.
Okay, I stand corrected. You can all have it.
Because otherwise my hair would be as gray as yours is.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Oh, God, I need help. I need help. Cedric, I'm
We're
in trouble in here right now.
We're out of control.
Out of control.
Okay. So,
God help us.
Yes.
Jesus' point in John 10 is, bringing us back here, is that he says, "My sheep hear my voice." He doesn't say, if you're a certain color, if you're a certain height, if you're a certain personality, or if you have gray hair or not. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Mm-hmm. So we are his sheep if we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. Romans 10, 9 and 10 Amen. Says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we're saved.
Amen.
We confess it with our mouth.
Yes.
Some of you out there, if you're not sure of your salvation right now, it's really very simple.
Mm-hmm.
You simply say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
I accept him into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. Forgive me, God, for anything and everything I've ever said or done that was not pleasing to you. Mm-hmm. It is that simple, Nathan,
Amen.
To become a sheep.
Amen. Bye.
Yeah. All right. Oh, wait, one for Nathan.
That was good.
My sheep hear my voice. Okay. And it says here in John, I don't know, 10, Something. Maybe verse 4 or 5, I'm not sure. He says, they won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. We do hear God's voice.
Yes.
People, we have got to quit buying the lie. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Preaching again. We got to quit buying the lie that we can't hear God's voice. Just the pastor, just the evangelist, just the minister of the gospel can hear God's voice, or the priest in the confessional.
Mm.
Dear one, it's not like that. Mm-hmm. Jesus came to defeat that mindset. Mm-hmm. Connie, talk to me while I get a drink of water, please.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they believe that, they need to come on a field trip to Beacon of Hope and see how many people God's speaks to and through.
That's right.
And that's the truth.
That's
and
the
our
truth.
And he would, and if he saw us, mm-hmm. if they saw us, they would say, I wouldn't expect God to speak to them.
They're all
you know, because
yeah.
we're different.
We're not we're just crackpots.
Crackpots.
Crackpots is right. Some of us have you know, like tattoos, and some of us have like
Dyed red hair,
and some of us have dreads, and some of us have blonde hair and out of a bottle, Connie, and some of us have hair that sticks straight up in the air like Nan and me,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it, so the point simply is we're all different.
Mm-hmm. All different.
We all can hear from God, mm-hmm. and we got to quit buying the lie that we aren't spiritual enough or we're not in tune enough with God to hear his voice.
Because we all are.
Because why does he want to talk to us, Nathan? Talk to me. Why does he want to talk to us?
Because we're his.
Oh, good point.
Because we belong to him, and he needs somebody to talk to.
Right.
And we're there.
He can talk to you at the same time talk to me.
That's right.
And he can talk to billions of people at the same time. That I cannot wrap my head around.
Oh, please.
Omnipotent. I cannot wrap my head around that at all.
Please.
You know?
Eternal. Forever and ever.
Oh, we're going to sing that tonight.
Please.
Your song.
Yes.
Forever and ever, amen.
Wrap your head around that one.
Woo! We can't understand any of this.
None of it.
And we're not supposed to.
Nope.
We weren't created to be able to understand it. We were created to be able to receive it and accept it.
Amen.
We were created to be able to say, I need God. I need God in such a desperate way that, you know, I'm desperate for you.
Yes.
Can't wait to get to church and sing these songs.
Oh. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry,
it's already here, the anointing.
I was running in here, I was thinking, how is this going to be when we're, this is totally flip-flopped.
Mm-hmm.
Because, it has. We're normally.
Because the anointing from the service always rolls over into the radio.
Yeah.
So this is going
to
be on fire.
So the radio anointing is going to roll over to the service. Oh, my goodness.
It's the truth.
Can you imagine people walking in the door just falling down?
It's okay. Let it so be it.
Oh, man.
It's going to be
you
great.
Know,
so be it.
We need to get over our inhibitions, children
mm-hmm.
of God.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get over those things that keep us from stepping out into God's stream of anointing.
Mm-hmm.
We have had the same opening song, Cedric, since we, like 2 weeks after we started the show. Connie and Nathan and I were the ones, I was sitting right where Connie is. Connie was here. No, Nathan was here and Connie was there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
On our first show, which was April 15th of 2007, so we're in our sixth year.
Well, we taped it that Tuesday.
We taped
before.
It that day.
That
oh, my gosh,
mess.
It was crazy. We never did that again. From then on, it was always live. It was a disaster. But
it was a disaster.
It really was. But, you know, from that that moment in time when we went on the airwaves, we went on with a desire to reach people for Jesus.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's why we do this. Yes, it costs money. No, we don't have sponsors for this show to help us financially. If any of you out there have a business and you would like to do a commercial
sponsors,
on here,
you are welcome.
That is great. Call me, write me an email, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and we will do that, and you can help sponsor the show.
Mm-hmm.
But God has faithfully paid our bills all these years, mm-hmm. Connie, and that's a real testimony to his power and his greatness.
And mm-hmm. you know, the first Sunday in January is our 300th radio show.
It's going to have to be a party.
It'll be a party.
It's going to be a party.
It's going to be a party. It's going to be a party.
It's going to be a big party.
But you know, people, we got to open our hearts to the fact that God wants to speak to us, and we've got to open our ears. Listen to this song by Matthew West, Rest.
Mm.
Another new favorite song of mine now. They just keep introducing me to new music.
New favorites.
What a great time. We're still on for another 40 minutes here. But Connie and Nathan have to go on and go to church since now our service will start at 6. They are in the praise band, and both of them have to get over there and practice a little bit. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm not worried about how it's going to sound, because it's sure going to sound pretty darn good, isn't it?
It's going to sound great.
The anointing of God.
It's going to sound
Some of you
great.
Out there have time. If you want to catch a plane, it would have to be very close by.
It's going
to
be right. It's going to be
maybe
at the airport that's right across the street from us.
Right.
Because helicopter in.
Or those that in the area that have cars, maybe. 6 o'clock at Beacon of Hope, 3700 Almerton, right behind Burger King. That's where we will be at 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Connie and Nathan are going to go in just a minute. Nan's going to slip into the chair. Connie, give me a final word.
Slip in the chair.
Give me a final word. What do you think today?
What do I think? I think it's going to be a fantastic service.
Yes, ma'am.
She can't even talk with a straight face.
All right. It's going to be great.
You know,
praise God.
It doesn't matter how fast you think your life's got to go. Mm-mm. You got to slow down and listen.
You got to slow down and
slow down.
Okay.
Slow down. Because you know what? If you don't slow down, he's going to slow you down.
He's going to make you lay down in green pastures.
That's right.
Restore yourself.
I'm telling you, that visual will always stick with me. He makes me lay down in green pastures.
Okay. There's that game, those penguins walking along, and all of a sudden somebody goes, that's what's going to happen.
Make you lie down and get bastards.
Rest.
Oh my gosh, you guys
were
wound
out of control.
Up. You're out of control. Hope you translate that to the music. Nathan, what's your final word here, Nathan, before you get out of here?
My final word.
Have you had fun today on the radio?
He never has a final word.
I've had fun. I've been
That's
blessed.
That's what it's about.
That's what
blessed.
It's all about.
Oh, I've been blessed.
You two are great.
Just filled with the Holy Ghost.
Well, you go play that keyboard and make it talk tonight, and we are going to have a great service. And God bless you both, and thank you for being on today. Nan, slip into the chair. Those of you out there that... are just like, you know, there's something going on in your life that's drawing you to a deeper place in God, but you're not really sure what God is doing. Open your heart to God by an act of your will, by you declaring with your mouth, I open my heart to God. I open my eyes to see him in a new dimension. I open my ears to hear him in a deeper way. Open yourself up to what God has for you to learn, because he wants to talk to you. Nan, boy, that was a smooth transition. Here we go. Wait a minute. Let's find your, which one are you? Which one are you?
Top one.
Top one? Okay. Is that you?
Yes.
All right. A little bit more. Okay. Connie had it. Really there up go. There, okay. Huh?
She has it like you do, loud.
I like it loud, yes. And Nan, so often I believe, as we've been talking, people need to catch the vision that God wants to speak to them. That it's not just some theory, it's just not some pie in the sky, you know, but he really does want to speak to us. I want to take us back to Jeremiah 29, because this scripture is the one that we founded this radio show on. 5.5, almost 6 years ago. And it is Jeremiah 29:11. Famous, I say famous because so many people quote this passage.
It's marked. 1996, it was marked in my Bible.
In 96, there
96,
you go.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 29:11-14. You want to read, you got your King James here.
I do.
You do, that's all right. We'll let you do that.
Thank
that's
you.
That's cool. It's great.
11 through 13, right?
11 through 14.
14. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me with all your heart.
I'm going to read that again. You got to read that again. Okay. That's one of those bell ringers.
There you go.
Done. Yeah, go ahead.
And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart.
Yes.
And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive.
Ooh. I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. I love it here, too. I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. You know, he's taking us home, Nan. You're not Nathan.
No, he has the nice colored skin. I don't.
Okay. Well, you had the black shirt on. I just missed.
Okay.
Yeah, I just, he says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. I love that.
I like that.
When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, that is Jeremiah 29:12. I'll listen. Okay? This is what we're talking about today on this show. When we call on God, he listens. It's right there.
It's right there.
Okay? When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come back looking, when you come looking for me, you'll find me. Okay? I love, you just read that twice, the search me and seek me and you'll find me, right?
Right.
So it says in the Message Bible, when you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes. When you get serious about finding me, serious, and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. I'll turn things around for you. Whoa.
Within the past week, I believe, week of my life, all of a sudden, I've started having a greater yearning for God.
Praise God.
It kind of goes along with that scripture.
You know, yes.
That's why I'm so glad that you brought the scripture up on the service. Not on the service. We're going to go service later on the radio show today.
We're combobulated trying to get used to our new schedule. Go ahead.
But no, it's just like this keen awareness.
Yes.
I want to know him more.
Yes.
I want to hear him more. He speaks to me. He does. I hear him.
A lot of times through poetry.
That's a lot of the times through poetry or through words. And, you know, and I just want more of him.
Absolutely.
I want to hear more of him. Sometimes we don't want to hear more of him because we're afraid of what he might say to us.
Ooh, excellent point. I was just getting ready to ask you, why is it that sometimes people don't want more of him? And you just answered that. And I also think a lot of times they're afraid of change. They're afraid that something is God's going to say, hey, you're going to have to do this and this and this. And a lot of times people don't want to do anything that takes them out of their comfort zone. We are such creatures of habit. You know what I'm talking about.
Right. And we've seen that, you know, throughout time in our church lives. It's so cool what's happening with Blur.
Right.
You know, buckle up for change, you know,
right.
And reaching
that's
out to people.
BuckleUpForChange.com. You
right.
can go there to our new website, which is a vision of Beacon of Hope. We still have BeaconofHopeMinistries.com, that website. But this is a vision of our ministry. Go ahead.
But, I mean, that's getting us out of our comfort zone. I've never done this before. I've never been involved with any church that's doing what we're, the direction of which it is going with that particular area of our ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about it. I mean, just the souls that are going to be able to be won as a result of us being out of the four walls of the typical church setting. Going out to the people. That's what we're doing, is going out to the people.
Going outside our walls. Let me read it again. To meet people where they are, just as they are, with God's love. Which is interesting, Nan, because that's our new slogan for this ministry, Buckle Up for Change. And that's really what ended up being the theme of Nursing Home today.
Oh, that's true.
Isn't that?
That is
meeting
true.
People where they are, just as they are, with God's love.
Mm-hmm.
Going outside our walls. I mean, because walls contain people. They keep them in a certain place, you know? Like a playpen for a toddler. You know, you put the toddler in and hope that they can't climb out of it. I remember when my oldest son, Ryan, first climbed out of his baby bed. Do you remember that with your son?
Yes.
And I thought, oh, my gosh, there he is walking around the house. How'd you get out of your bed? You know? But so often walls or playpens or whatever are designed to keep us contained in a certain way. And the devil, people around us, circumstances, finances, all kinds of things keep us in those walls, and we have got to be willing, ready, willing, and able to be released from those walls and get out there and just be real. Man, this is one thing I love about you. You're just, you're a principal secretary in Tampa, and you are in a very important position, and that people come to you all day long. Sometimes you wish they weren't, but they come to you all day long, and sometimes they need prayer, and sometimes they just need a pat on the back, and sometimes they just need an ear, a listening ear, don't they?
Yes, they do. You know, it was so cool. God allowed the opportunity. I got to pray with two people this last week in my office. I mean, that was so cool. You know, very serious situations going on in their lives. Right. And one of them started, you know, was sharing me about the mother and the father, and, you know, one's on dialysis, one's like at the end of his life, and the other one just had a heart attack, and she's under a lot of pressure and has other things too. And I just, can I pray with you? And she kind of looked at me funny and said, yes. You know, people are willing. You know, it's interesting. And I found this, and, you know, I've had the opportunity, God's opened the door several times for this to occur in my office. And it's interesting, we say, may I pray with you? And
just they say, yes. That simple sentence, simple may sentence. I pray with you? Yes. Is there something I could pray with you about?
Exactly.
Often people will say yes. Rarely does somebody say, no, I don't want any prayer. That's unusual.
Right, that is.
And I think we've got to get to the point, Nan, where we trust God enough that we're hearing his voice. Mm-hmm. We know we're hearing his voice, and that we follow it by faith sometimes before confirmations start coming. And sometimes confirmations do come. I was counseling with one of our members. She was actually counseling me the other day. And she's a licensed counselor. And I said, here's what I think that I've been hearing God say on this subject. That every time this and this and this has happened, I have felt God was saying this. And she said, she looked right at me and she goes, you hear from God? And I go, yeah. And she goes, and that's happened to you four times? And I said, yes. And she goes, duh, that's God. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we need to be reminded that we do hear his voice. John 10, my sheep hear my voice. Jeremiah 29, where we are, God says, when you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen.
You know, getting back to what you guys were discussing earlier on the program, I think Connie said something along the line, but, you know, lie down in green pastures. We have to get still, you know, to hear God's voice. You know, some people say, you know, God never talks to me. We know they may, many times they're not slow down enough to just stop and say, you know, Father, I just praise you. I just love you. Thank you so much for sending your son to die. And then just waiting on God. You know, y'all were saying something that kind of made me remember of a time. It was my son. It was probably, he's 20 now. It was probably 10, 15 years ago. I don't know. My back went out and I missed work. And I was laying in bed going, God, why is this happening? I need to be at work. And he clearly spoke to me and said, you didn't stop to listen to me. I had to stop you. Now you're laying in your bed. You're laying in your bed. You can't go to work. You really can't do anything hardly because of the severity of the pain you're feeling. Now I have you. So you listen to me. And he allowed that to happen so that I could listen to him. And that's happened one time since also, probably about 3 years ago. I missed a day of work because I couldn't hardly get out of bed, and I spent that time meditating on the Lord and praying because I hadn't been doing that because
sometimes
of circumstances around me, you know, and I wasn't really able to do that easily. And sometimes circumstances are that way for people, you know, and God knows and understands that, you know.
Right.
But he kind of stopped me dead in my tracks so that I could hear from him.
Absolutely. And he will allow circumstances in our lives that will cause us to be in a position to make a decision to hear God's voice and to listen. And sometimes we interpret these things as awful things that happen to us. I mentioned my daughter Lori earlier, and you know her very well, and a lot of our listening audience know Lori, but she struggled with drug addiction for 20 years. It's a long time. She's only 36. And she struggled so long, and it got to the point where she ended up having to spend 20 months in prison plus a few months in jail. And she's been out now for well over a year and doing great. But it was like she will say to you, and she's probably told you this, Nan, that God had to get her attention. She was just not listening. She knew that she needed to be doing something different with her life, but she was still so enmeshed in the addictions and the hold that the devil had on her that until she was forced into a situation where she had to start listening to God and talking to God, her life totally changed and turned around, and she will say that it was the best thing that ever happened to her to mm-hmm. have to go to prison. And so we don't wish that on anyone. And at the time it happened, I mean, it was extremely painful for our whole mm-hmm. family. But we also knew God was using a difficult circumstance to absolutely get her attention and turn her around. That's what I hear you saying.
Yes, and through the situation.
Yes.
Yes. Through the situation with Lori, you know, it just, God just so moved so mightily that you wrote letters to Lori.
Right.
And it became a book.
Right.
And many of those were placed in that facility where
yes.
she was.
Yes.
And so what seemed to be really bad.
Right.
And it was. God turned into good right. and was able to minister to many, many people because of that book. And
exactly.
Lori was ministering to many, many people because of that book.
Absolutely.
She was giving them out.
She
know?
Was.
And she was leading things and responsible
and I have,
for things.
I've had a lot of letters from people in that prison and even some of their family members, you know, because of that. But so often what we're saying is we feel that our circumstances are so terrible. And so often I think, Nan, God gets blamed for situations that he didn't cause. Our own ignorance, our own rebellion, our own stubbornness, our own drive to do what I want to do when I want to do it has caused a lot of stuff we fall into. But here's the beauty of God, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he will turn the bad things, and he will get glory. But what the purpose of this show today has been, God wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. He wants to get our attention, make us lie down in green pastures, as Nathan was saying.
Right.
Lead us beside still waters. Restore our souls. He wants to do that for us. And so often we rebel against that whole thing of God talking to us. We do. We rebel. Because we're afraid of what the answer is going to be or whatever the...
Well, you know, the church that I was in that I wound up getting so hurt by the pastor, it involved a situation that I won't go into detail, but it could have gotten into legal realm. And through that and through the pain of that, God kind of took us on a journey after that. And we wound up being in a very traditional church for a year and a half. And it was just a real sit-down time for me. I got really just ministered to. I didn't have to minister to anybody. In the midst of that, he was sharing poems with people. But as far as real ministry or being involved, leadership,
cool.
stuff like that, I wasn't there because I was healing.
Right.
I was healing from that situation.
Yes.
You know, went to church after that on a
right.
journey. It was a great journey, and we had enjoyed that church. Then I went through a period of time of not attending church at all because that church kind of disbanded, and so... We didn't go anywhere for probably four years.
Right.
And then God, on my journey, brought me to Beacon.
Right.
As a ministry project through Connie.
Right.
He ministered to me off and on with texts and phone calls for 3 years.
3 years, yes.
I was a ministry project.
And you were not actually at Beacon. You
no.
were just a friend of hers that, I don't know if you guys even met personally.
No, we had not ever met personally.
Oh, wow. But you were texting back and
yes.
forth and she was ministering to you
yes.
for a period of time. Which shows you that God was speaking to you through somebody you didn't even know.
Yeah,
and
I know.
He does
so cool.
that. You never met her. But
never.
God wants to speak to us, and he does so in such amazing ways.
I remember her. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Her excitement was like, many times we talk on Sunday mornings when we're during part of the phase of this of talking. And she's like, well, I'm going to church now. And she was all excited and everything. Why don't you come to church? I don't think I'll go. Well, it's Beacon of Hope, and it's a fantastic church, and we really would like to see you. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Kind of the typical running away from God kind
right.
of thing.
But then you changed your mind.
Then I changed my mind. All
right.
of a sudden, God, I just one day said, I think I'll try out the church.
And there may be some people out there, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, come on. But if you're not, then if God is leading you into a particular ministry, or, you know, Nan, we have a lot of people that are part of this ministry, but they live in other states.
Right.
Or for a while we had some people in another country, but still they can be a part of Beacon of Hope.
Yes.
and give tithes and mm-hmm. offerings financially, be a part of us, be a part of the radio ministry, be a part of the sermons that we're putting on Facebook and all of that. They can be a part, you know. They don't, with technology now, it's amazing what we can do.
Well, you know, like at the nursing home, we're the church. We've been told that of different groups that come that they like us best.
Yeah.
You know, because of our silliness, you know. But they love that. And for them, we're their church.
Right.
You know, we have our regulars who come every month, and you
right.
know, and we look forward, we're getting to know them some. Same as the listening audience.
Right.
This is basically their church. They don't go to a church. There's not a church in the area that they
right.
feel they attend. For whatever reason, they're not going attending church. But they listen to the radio show.
Right.
This is their church.
Amen.
This is their church. And they can support their church if
absolutely.
They feel so led to do so.
Financially, mm-hmm. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and go to PayPal and give your donation. And we don't talk about that. We don't beg for money.
No.
We never have. But the opportunity is there for you mm-hmm. to plant your finances into good ground, because the whole requirement of good ground is that the Word of God is being taught.
Right.
And it's being taught in simplicity. It's being taught with the anointing. And our motives are good. Mm-hmm. And we're people of God that just want to serve Him and give it all we can to everybody around, you know?
I can remember a time when my parents didn't attend church because of something that happened at the church, you know?
Okay, that happens.
It seems to happen sometimes.
Sure.
And they saved up their tithe
mm-hmm.
till they got founded in a church that they trusted and believed in. Then they caught up and paid all their tithes.
Wow.
But they set it aside. So it was still going to go to God's house.
Right.
They just didn't know which particular God's house.
And there might
go
be
to.
Somebody out there like that in our radio audience today. Just go to beaconofhopeministries.com and plant your finances.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to this song. Amy Grant sang this, and I love it. Softly and Tenderly. And then we're going to talk more on the other side here.
For you and for me, come on.
there's somebody out there in our audience right now. I think there's a whole lot more than one somebody who God is speaking to your heart. And you know down on the inside of you that he's calling for a deeper commitment from you. There may even be some of you out there that your relationship with God just seems to be broken. It's just a mess. You can find that restoration right this moment. You simply say, Lord, here I am, and I need to restore my relationship with you. I need to come back to that place that is home. It's home in you. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Come home. Come home. Come home. It is time, dear ones, for us to get serious about our relationship with the Lord. We don't know how much time we have on this earth. So many broadcasts are talking about climate change and catastrophes globally with weather, as we've seen here in the last week. And we don't know how much time we have, but we do know this. With the amount of time we have, we need to get the word of God out there. We need to be praying for people. We need to see people saved, giving their hearts to Jesus. We need to be seeing broken hearts healed. And we need to be seeing lives turned around and pointed in the direction towards home. One of our slogans at Beacon of Hope, and was our first one when we began 11 years ago, was lighting the way home. And that's what it's all about. We're headed home. We are headed there. We sang about it today at the nursing home. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. We're headed home. We got a place we're going to be for all eternity. Both of my parents now, since mom just passed away at the end of July, Nan, they're both with Jesus. Your parents are still here.
They're still here.
Mine are there. Yesterday was the fifth anniversary of my dad's passing to be with Jesus. And God honored my request, and I was with both of them and ushered them into the presence of the Lord when they went to be with Jesus and went home. And they were looking forward to reunion with Almighty God and with relatives and friends that had gone before. And dear ones out there, you can do the very same thing as my parents have done. Just step forward into the plan that God has for your life. Remember Jeremiah 29:11 says, I'll show up and take you, take care of you as I promised, and bring you back home.
Back home.
Okay? I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. Praise God. I love that. Verse 12 of Jeremiah 29. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Okay? Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. I'll turn things around for you. This is God's rhema anointed word for people out there today, guys. It's Jeremiah 29:11-14. Get your Bible and read it. God is going to turn your circumstances around for your good. And you've got to talk to him. Tell him what your needs are. Tell him what's on your heart. And then listen as he talks.
Well, during that song, I really felt in my spirit that there is at least one person who's really seriously running from God. They're listening to this program, but they're really running from God. And just stop. He's everywhere. You know, when I came to Beacon, and I'm pretty open, you know, I'm pretty open with things. And in some of the poetry that he would actually give me, he would call me Jonah.
Right.
Because I was so running. You know that whole period.
You sure did.
I sure did, you know.
But we never quit praying for you, and exactly. God never quit reaching out to you and saying, come home, Nan, come home, Nan.
Exactly. And I finally did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would encourage them to do the same thing. It's weary. They're getting weary. It's weary running from God.
It is.
It is exhausting. It's exhausting, you know?
Why is it exhausting to run from God?
You just spend a lot of time just thinking of why you don't need to have him in your life. You think a lot of time of, you know, I'm not going to surrender to you. Right. God, look what has happened. Look what you did. Back to what you were saying earlier. Look what you did to me. Well, no, God didn't do it to you. It occurred, but it wasn't God making it happen.
Right.
And he gets blamed with a lot of things that he's not guilty of.
Right. Exactly.
But it's just mentally
time.
Exhausting.
It may be time for some of our listening audience to forgive God. To let you know, release forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean we agree with what's been done. It means we let go and they don't owe us anymore. And maybe you need to forgive God and say, God, I let go of this situation that I've been blaming you for. And I forgive you because it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out. Mm-hmm. You know? So what would you say to those people out there, Dan, that are running?
Stop.
Stop.
Get down on their knees, pray, ask God's forgiveness for their own actions of running. That's really a sin when you're running from God, in my opinion. It's you're sinning against God because you're running against God.
Absolutely.
But the thing was that he showed me is I'm everywhere anyway. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere. You know? I mean, it's like, so you're going to run, but you're going to run right into me.
Right. Run right into
his
arms.
That's what he kept telling me. You're going to run right into me. You're just running. I'm everywhere. Why run?
Amen.
So I would encourage them to just stop.
Amen.
It's much more peaceful and calming and wonderful and joyous when you're serving the Lord, when you have him as your Savior and you're moving forward. It's fantastic. Oh,
it's what life is all about.
Exactly.
We were created to be to the praise of his glory. That's what the word says. We were created to be to the praise of his glory. That's our purpose on this earth. Mm-hmm. Our purpose is not the job you go to 9 to 5.
Right.
Our purpose is to fulfill God's best for our lives. That's true success. When we put our lives in tune with God's purpose for our lives, that's true success.
That is true success.
It is. It's not about how many degrees you have behind your name or how much money you have in the bank. It is, are you fulfilling God's plan and purpose for your life? Woo!
Well, at the end, when you stand before God, he's not going to be impressed with what size boat you had.
That's right.
He's going to want to see what you've been doing for him.
And we're going to go home. We are going to go home. You know, and I just encourage every single one of you to take this show very seriously. We are blessed to have our wonderful engineer, Cedric, send us the show like the next evening or that evening tonight. And then it goes on our website in a day or two and they stay there. So go to beaconofhopeministries.com. By tomorrow night, Tuesday, you'll be able to hear this show as many times as you want to. It is there for you. The wonderful blessings of technology. If you're in the Tampa Bay area and you want to come to an anointed service tonight, let me tell you, it's going to be amazing. Tonight we start at 6, 1 hour from now. So Nan and I are going to boogie out of here and get down to Almerton Road, 3700 Almerton Road, for our service at 6. And you are welcome. Come as you are. I have jeans on, so does Nan. We are very casual, which seems to be the way of life these days for most of us. So you don't have to look a certain way.
Right. And many wear cargo shorts in.
Right.
Put that in. You know,
absolutely. Just come the way that you are. Meet some people who will love you and care about you. 2 weeks from tonight is our first nightclub ministry at Blur in downtown Dunedin, also at 6 o'clock. So if you just remember that now we are at Sunday nights at 6, whether it'll be one service per month at the nightclub or the park, and the other three per month will be at our facility, 3700 Almerton. Sunday night at 6, no more Sunday morning services, which is weird. Our Wednesday night stays the same, prayer meeting at 6:15 and Bible study at 7. Come and bring your Bible, bring your dinner, that's fine. We set up tables, have a great time. And just know that there are people here. We didn't talk about it today, but we have a wonderful prayer ministry. If you have a prayer need, write us prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And we will make sure that your request gets to the prayer team. If you want to be on the prayer team, that's fine. Also, write a request, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can be a part of the prayer team. We need more people on that team praying. We have nursing home ministry. We have this radio outreach, the services. There's so much going on at Beacon of Hope. So we encourage you to become a part of us, even if you live away in a distance. You can write me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. beaconofhopeministries.com. Pastor Jim, my associate who's not here today on this show, Pastor Jim at beaconofhopeministries.com. You can reach us if you have questions, comments, or anything else. We are so glad you joined us today. It's been a crazy show. Nathan and Connie and Nan and me, Pastor Marcia, it's been fun, hasn't it? It's been great. Fun. It's always great sharing the word. So listen to God. Go talk to him and then listen to what he has to say. It's not far to Jesus. See you next week at 3 o'clock, not 4. 3 o'clock next Sunday. See ya. God bless you. He's
loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.